Come with me, adoptee, to a world that's free of corps and nations. What they hide, we'll make known, much to their frustration. We'll begin, past the spin, tuning in to a Matrix pirate station. What you'll learn, truth and facts and explanation. If you want to choose anarchy, just delete your sin and choose it. Any state you want to, screw it. Wanna know the truth? There's nothing to it. There is no good I know that comes from evil corps and nations. Reject them, you'll be free if you side with anarchy.
Coming to you straight from Rolls Reliably by a source on the Matrix, this is the Anarchy and Podcasting Network, and I am Opti. Welcome to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. Great news, little crows. Your idea, your support, and your love have succeeded in securing a place for old Opti in the Shadowrun stories of Hong Kong. It looks like the harebrained schemes is telling the stories right. So, crows, if you haven't secured yourself a copy of this Matrix game by throwing some nui in their way, perhaps you might think about it. Lots of whiz benefits to supporting them now instead of waiting till it goes live, but if you have to use it to buy food or keep your squatter lifestyle, I get it. Nevertheless, thanks again, crows, and a special thanks goes out in this episode to my old chummer Belker, who I'll get to in a minute. Now, I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, crows, but old Opti hasn't always been a devotee of Papa Crow. No, Raven hasn't always been my spirit guide. In fact, when I first started running, my totem was dog. I know, it seems like an ill fit now, and the story from there to here is complex, but maybe I'll get to it someday. For now, picture old Opti in the early 2050s in Seattle, where shadow running was hitting its heyday. So dog was leading me around by the leash, and as it happens, I was slumming it in Redmond. Now, this was after all that nasty Universal Brotherhood stuff blew up. So I was headed into some party, right as this grungy dwarf is getting thrown out. I wouldn't have bothered at all, but he was wearing an Orioles baseball cap. Now, I have a theory that some of the best people in the world are the ones willing to wear a Baltimore Orioles baseball cap this far from the East Coast. So, I stops and picks him up. He dusts himself off, and I hear him talking to himself. I ignore him and ask him if he's alright. He looks at me like he sees me for the first time and sniffs me. Yeah, he sniffs me. Then he starts talking to himself again, louder this time, so that I can hear him say, "Oh, he's one of us. Smells like a pup. Did you set this up?" I ask him who he's talking to, and he looks at me puzzled-like and says, "Dog, of course. Can't you hear him too?" Now, I am curious, because of course I've heard Dog speaking, but this guy's acting like he has some sort of constant conversation. Which I guess is possible, but either I wasn't important enough or I was too distracted to hear it. So, my curiosity gets the better of me, and I offer to buy him a drink. Fake sin in hand, we head to a pub, and in between Belker growling, he is able to tell me a bit about himself. Says he's from Baltimore, used to be on the force. I look around and can tell he isn't anymore by all the nods he's getting from the local gangs. He tells me that he does his part to regulate his little piece of the Baron's pie, and brokered some deals to keep his side of the street free of gang violence. I was impressed. I was less impressed with what happens next. All of a sudden, the door gets kicked in, and this ancient ganger starts strolling around like he owns the place, seriously disrupting my zen. But since I had recently taken a job stealing a bike from one of their top lieutenants, I'm now hiding my face behind a pint of Dunkel's on Doppelbach. So Belker tells me he's cool with the ancients, but apparently this guy doesn't know Belker from Adam. That's probably why he immediately starts giving him dreck, first going at him for being a dwarf, calling him stunty, half-man, short-round. Then he starts in on the Orioles cap, and it all goes downhill from there. Belker was actually pretty patient with the guy, until the ancient starts making remarks about how his mom's beard makes it hard to tell her from his dad. Out of nowhere, I see Grumbly Dog Dwarf make a baseball bat appear from his pack, and then he proceeds to thrash this elf pretty bad. What Belker doesn't see is this guy's pack coming in from outside, and this guy with the orc teeth hanging from his neck starts brewing a spell aimed for my new pal. So of course, I throw down, and together we end the fight pretty quickly. So I realize we've worn out our welcome for the moment, and we head outside to leave, when it seems like every ancient go-ganger in Redmond pulls up. Now of course, the dude I stole the bike from is front and center. Then it's Belker's turn to shine. He grabs his bat, which starts glowing, and I realize what's about to happen, so I start whipping up a spell too. Before the ancients know what hit him, Belker throws down a Trid Phantasm on the front row. They start screaming and running because apparently they're now seeing a Basilisk chasing a Wendigo, which is chasing them. So I follow up by whipping up a massive stun ball and whacking the lot of them. Now, I overstepped my abilities then quite a bit, and with that one I passed out just after. I woke up, mostly because of the smell, next to Belker in a safe house on the east end of the Barrens. Apparently, after I had put down the front row, Belker picked me up, got me into an alley, threw me into his vehicle, and we were able to get away. But now we're marked by the ancients, and while eventually we got to the point where we could have handled that heat, back then we was just small time. So Belker takes me to a safe house, helps me get back to health. Not that I ain't thankful. We spent a lot of time talking about Dog and our interactions with him, and where and how he was leading us. It was pretty good stuff. But after a while, he started to get to me. In like, I've spent too much time with a sibling, and now everything he is doing is irritating me, sort of way. We spent 3 weeks in the safe house, until one of Belker's contacts had worked out a deal. The first week was fine, but between Belker's smell, his constant back and forth with Dog, that only I heard one side of, and the other peculiarities of his personality, I was ready to explode. Still, we parted on good terms, and we even did a few runs together a few years later. Dog teaches loyalty to his own, and I learned at least that much from my time with him. Belker still gives me dreck for bailing on Dog in favor of Old Crow, but he remains a good chummer, and he's popped up here and there to pull my bacon out of the fire. He's a damn fine runner, if you're looking to hire. Last I'd heard, he'd gone back to Baltimore, but another Crow told me he was running in Seattle a bit as well, and I know for sure he's been to Chicago at least once or twice recently. So, Belker, if you're listening, thanks for being a loyal chummer. Thanks for having my back, and you know I have yours. Enough of the mushy stuff. I have something important to say. And that is, you have now wasted an entirely good slot of time listening to the Anarchy and Podcasting Network. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unanunium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your gregarious ghost garçon, gleefully gaining glory through guts and gaining ground gallantly while gratuitously, garrulously giving the grave and graphic gospel of truth, Opti. Enjoy your freedom. Because even when it takes the form of 3 weeks in a small flat with a gruff and growling dwarf, it is still better than being manipulated and controlled by others.